Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you
are listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
Welcome to another edition of My Darkest Hour Radio. I'm your host, Stefan Brigati, and he's glad to be back with you guys this year. A lot of great things have been happening, a lot of great things coming up here in the near future. I'm going to be talking to you about that. I have an upcoming series I'm working on, and I'll let you know more about that. Real excited. So, going with that, we're doing a lot of traveling, a lot of events and stuff. Get ready to play a lot more shows and doing a lot more appearances this year. I've had a request for some great events coming up. One we've been talking about is the one coming up in May up at Virginia City. And I know you guys are saying it again. Oh, man, Virginia City again. But you have to understand, Virginia City is totally awesome. And for those of you who do not know, Virginia City is not in Virginia. It's actually in Nevada. So go figure. So talking about that and the great events that we do up there in Virginia City, my guest tonight is one of the people that are going to be appearing at the Virginia City Paracon in May. And I'm really excited. I ran into her at a movie premiere in my area. It was great to catch up and do a little talking. So I thought I'd go ahead and invite her on the show tonight and kind of catch up. A longtime friend of the show, person I'm talking about is Karen Ronkowski, who you guys know as an actress, comedian, as well as being a psychic medium, a paranormal researcher, and investigator. Imagine trying to get that all on the front of your business card to show that. But, you know, along with that, she brings such a delightful lightheartedness and funniness to what we do. It's the environment that we do with the paracons and even with paranormal investigation can be so intense sometimes. You know, a lot of people forget to just have fun. They get real serious about it. And what I really like about hanging out with Karen is she brings a lot of fun to the paranormal events that we do. So let's go ahead and get her on the show and find out what she's been up to and how she's been doing. So let's go ahead and bring her on. Hey, Karen, hi, you out there?
I am. How are you?
Oh, I am absolutely fantastic. Can you hear me? I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, good. Yeah, I can hear you great. It sounds terrific.
The only thing is there's like a slight delay, like a couple second delay because of the internet. And yeah, I'm supposed to have the best internet access, and it's just terrible. I complain about it all the time, and they just don't do nothing about it. So I'm stuck. So that's that.
Well, you know, the rain in California made it so much worse. My internet is terrible, too, just because of the rain. And it's like, how could the rain throw off the internet and the phones? It's been weird for a couple of days.
Yeah, this is strange. I mean, it's 2019, and we're worried about the clouds overhead affecting our internet. I mean, we're supposed to be all high-tech and flying cars and going to Mars and stuff, and we can't even get good internet.
I know, and you know, I hope that there's no background noise, but I have, you know, my little puppy, he seems to have a little bout of diarrhea, so if you kind of hear, it sounds like I'm outside, then it sounds like I'm inside. We may be running it out just a tad.
Oh, poor thing. Oh, yeah.
I know. We went to San Diego yesterday, and I'm not saying who, but one of us got into someone's cat food, and now their stomach is upset. So,
well, Carrie, you're supposed to drink a lot of milk when you eat the cat food, so it gets you an upset stomach.
You know, I already have a great Virginia City story for you.
You do? Lay it on us. Let's hear it.
I do. It's so odd. Because, you know, I do these little one-minute, I have like 85 episodes, this one-minute little show I do called Paranormal Karen. And it's, you know, if you're on my Facebook page, you see them. They're just a comedy. I go to a place that's haunted, and it's a comedy piece on that place, and I put in a lot of jokes. Well, I shoot the footage, and then I leave it in my phone sometimes, and I, you know, go, I'll do this one at another date. So I had a bunch of footage from Virginia City, and I had some from the Washaw Club, and I did it. I think it was a year later. I took that footage, and I did a little Paranormal Karen on it. And what I do is I detach the sound and I do a voiceover. So I do it and I put it up, and then I get an email on it from a fan that says, "Is it just me or at 29 seconds?" Does someone say kill her? And I go back and listen, and it's like a class A EVP. Like, there's like how I missed it, I don't know. And I can't figure out, because I took the sound off of the Virginia City video and did the voiceover here. So I can't figure out if it happened there or here in my apartment.
That's interesting and kind of scary. I mean, the Washoe Club obviously was the millionaires' club upstairs. Women weren't treated that good. We know that there has probably been some murders and things that probably. Look at that. We know for a fact there's been murders up there and stuff. So the chances of it happening up there, or them saying that, is possible. But we all have those tendencies to take visitors home with us for short periods of time, even though you could smudge all day long and do whatever it is you do, but sometimes that energy comes with you and checks out your house for a couple of days and then gets bored and leaves. But that's interesting. That is kind of a good story. I mean, I hope it's at Virginia City, not at your house.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to see it, they could go to – there's Paranormal Karen, the podcast, and Paranormal, the series, Paranormal Karen, and it's the Washoe Club, and it's right at 29 seconds, and it's amazing. And you know what else I wondered is, you know how sometimes EVPs can appear and disappear, and then I wonder if it did happen at the Washoe Club, and it just – even though I deleted the sound, it didn't delete. You know what I mean?
Interesting. So
yeah.
Paranormal energy can affect electronics. That stuff happens. I mean, it's just how it goes. So you probably did pick it up there.
Yeah, I can't figure out. I called a couple of people in, like my friend Tommy Durant, and he said, I think you had a stowaway for a little bit that came and went. But we're not sure if it was talking to me. You know what I mean? If you think about it, in the Washoe Club, it could have been talking to anyone, kill her. You know what I mean? And it, maybe it wasn't even directed at me.
And hey, it's the Washoe Club, and maybe they were drinking a bottle of something, and the guy handed it to the other guy, and he says, "No, killer." You know, putting it down.
Yeah.
But that's interesting, and you probably, maybe you did have a stowaway. It happens to all of us. I have a tendency to bring home spirits of my clients' pets. That's always interesting.
Huh? Yeah, you know what? Too, it's funny.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just gonna say, I lost my train of thought. Sorry. It was funny because someone watching it picked it up. Like that's what we do all the time. And look for that. I wasn't even looking for it, and somebody that a fan picked it up.
That's interesting. You know, and sometimes maybe when we're playing those EVPs back and we're going over a broadcasting system, like whatever blog system you're using, maybe that electronic interface enhances some of the sounds that we're hearing on the recording. So it made it, maybe it brought that out a little bit clearer and they picked up on that.
I wonder if it did. You could have that right. I use these really good microphones, and I do everything on my phone. I shoot it on my phone. I edit it on my phone, and I just use these little microphones to do a voiceover. So I'm not sure, but it's actually, that's even more amazing, is that how good our equipment is now for, like, so little price. You know what I mean?
Yes. Back in the day, it was, everything new was coming out was so expensive, but now there's so much of it. Everything's competitive pricing, and you can get really good recorders. I use the standard, the Olympus recorder all the time, and those things used to be expensive, and now you can get them for like $20 anywhere. So that's cool.
Yeah, I got to find, if you ever see it, let me know. I got to find I keep looking for a really good night vision camera, but they really don't make them anymore. So I kept buying the old digital ones that nobody uses anymore and trying to take them apart and remove the IR filter, which is really good.
Uh-huh.
But then putting it back together is like, what?
No, you got to kind of order that. It gets crazy. And they have, what's funny is you can go online and they sell conversion kits for that, and they want you to do it. So it's like, what? Can I just get somebody else to do that? Because I don't know.
I know.
You know?
And,
it is, and you're saying, like, the night vision cameras aren't – no one's really doing night vision cameras anymore. But everyone's doing a lot of full spectrum, which is supposed to be better. I like the night vision cameras, the old school stuff. I just like the clarity of the pictures, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like orbs and stuff, and I'm not a big orb person either, but when you get a light anomaly that reflects on the night vision camera that's moving around, that's really good. And the night vision camera, they make them nice and clear.
Yeah, and I like still photos. I still like the still photos, and that camera they don't really make. But, I think there are some people that know how to – Dave Harvey told me, as you take it apart, take a photo and have it all lined up on styrofoam. And I thought, well, that makes sense. So maybe I'll have one soon. But I think I got, you know, I think I got four different of these digital ones on eBay, wicked cheap. And then I think I destroyed three of them, and the fourth one is here in my apartment waiting to be destroyed.
Well, now you have parts for the fourth one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can build my own thing here. But, it's funny. The Washoe Club was haunting me even before I got there.
Nice. Yeah, well, you're getting ready to go back up there, so maybe they're waiting for you.
Yeah, I'm excited. And it's in May, so it won't be terribly cold. I remember one time we went and it seemed so cold. That's going to be perfect.
Yeah, we went up there at the beginning of April, and it was just a blizzard and stuff. I was so unhappy about driving through that because I just came from the beach by my house. So I'm wearing shorts and stuff, and all of a sudden we're going through the hills, coming through the mountains. Donner Pass, of course. You know, it snowed in, and everybody has to get off the freeway. I'm like, what? And there's me with my shorts on running around to this gas station with, you know, everyone's just staring at me. He's like, where's your snow chain? I'm like, dude, I live by the beach. Why do I need snow chain?
I know, it is. But you know what, too? That city, Reno itself, is just culture shock. all the way anyways. Like, Reno is its own, like, it's got its own altitude, it's got its own vibration, and then Virginia City is that under a magnifying glass. So it's really an interesting place. It's, like, beyond interesting. Even if you weren't into ghost hunting, it's so interesting.
Yeah, I love it there. I just kind of step back in time, and I just feel comfortable being there. I always have a good time there, and it's super haunted. Everything's haunted there, like, threefold, you know, I mean, it's just crazy. But at the same time, you know, I feel comfortable in haunted places. I feel at home in haunted places. When I go to a house and it's not haunted, the house feels kind of off to me. Like, it's a box that's...
What is, you know, I know it's your show, but what is your worst haunted experience?
Worst haunted experience. There's a couple of good ones. Well, I've been punched in the face, and I've been scratched. I've been bitten. One of the worst ones is a demonic experience with a good friend of mine. And things got pretty bad. I thought I was going to go in and do a cleansing and all this stuff, and I had those really giant palms, the sandalwood palms, and I was going to corner trying to cleanse this room, and by the second time I got to the second corner, this thing was out. And these palms don't go out. These are the big ones they have at the monks and temples and stuff. That happened. My friend got really sick. We were trying to drag him out of the room. Lights flashing. It was almost like a Hollywood thing. It was just ridiculously out of control. And we had to go back multiple times to deal with it. Yeah, we were driving home, and it's really strange. This is really weird. A weird truck pulled up next to us, was lowered and had tinted windows. And it's about 2 o'clock in the morning. It's flying up, and it's like pacing us right next to us, and it's shaking all weird. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And then we feel like this, almost like an electronic charge running through me and the passenger. And we both look at each other, and we're like, what the hell's going on? And all of a sudden, we both shouted out, screamed out at the same time, like, ah, when we got that electronic charge. And then from the distance, from this blackened field, something flies out of the field. And I can see it in the headlights, and it's heading towards my car. And it smashes on the freeway in front of my car, and it looked like a human femur.
Wow. Did you stop, or did you just keep driving?
Oh, it slammed in front of me, and it's like smashed the bottom of my car, and it just kind of smashed all over the place. So we just kept going. And the black truck took off. It was out of there. I mean, it was really weird. Strange events that just happened, like, in the sequence. It was pretty crazy.
Wow. You know, I'm pretty
much...
Yeah,
that's what I got going on.
Wow. I pretty much believe... I always laugh. Like, I was just on a podcast with one of my friends, and I had listened to her podcast, and she was like, well, I don't really like to talk about ghosts or being a medium because it makes me sound crazy. And I just go on the podcast, and I'm like, crazy is all that's on the plate today, honey, because I am all in. And I believe everything. And I always wonder that truck, if that was real. Do you know what I mean? Like, if that was something demonic that sort of came up, or if, like, human angels, sometimes human angels, I think, show up to help people. And it always surprises me. I think that's like, I live on a right next to a I live on a very busy street, and it's got a four-way not a four-way stop, but just two roads cross each other. There are more accidents on that road, on that cross there. And it's almost like there is another dimension that throws another car in there, because the accidents, I mean, nobody expects to see an accident, but there are so many, and it is not a blind corner. And it's like, I think there's so many things in the planet that we just think are nothing. We think, oh, it was just a guy in a truck, and it was probably something bad, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It could be a couple of different things, but this truck, just the way it came out of nowhere right up to us, because I didn't see it in my rearview mirror. It's two, three in the morning coming down the 101. It's like not a whole lot of traffic happening in a certain area. You know, past Calabasas, heading into Thousand Oaks area, and it pulled up, and it was like, it wasn't going steady. It was like vibrant, like shaking. It was a really crazy thing, and the windows were pitch black, so you couldn't see if there was a person on the other side. It was just a weird thing, you know, and it kind of gave you that uncomfortable feeling. This whole thing was a total warning, basically. But I just thought it was so, you know, so randomly crazy. It's like, what? This thing's throwing bones at us? What's going on with this? You know?
Right.
It's creative, I'd give it that point.
And it would be just an odd thing if on the same night you had that terrible experience with your friend, and then on coincidence a truck came up and started throwing bones at you. Like, that would be very odd if those two events were not connected somehow, you know?
Yeah, because we were talking about that experience when we left the house heading back to, you know, home. And that just happened out of nowhere. Like, hey, I'm going to get you guys. Look at my crazy truck shaking next to you. And I'm going to throw a bone at you for no reason at all. It's like, wow, okay.
Yeah. People like that are great, aren't they?
Yeah. Very paranormal or not. It's like, really, dude? That's very creative. You get points for that, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I've experienced a lot of stuff. I've definitely been around demonics or lower levels, so to speak, and they didn't seem to really care about people. They were, like, doing whatever it was they do. I guess because there's different levels of demonic forces and dark entities. And these ones weren't the ones that you see in the movies that are trying to possess everybody and do crazy things. They were just passing through looking for information and whatever they do. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
But you could smell them. They smell so bad. And that little weird heat wave, it's almost like hot, rotting flesh. It just makes you uncomfortable. But you know when they're just passing through, you're like, wow, you know, where are these guys going?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. I don't know what that's called. Is it Legion and it's the front part or something? Or is Legion the... I'm not sure. I know what you're talking about. But, yeah, that's... I've never had an experience that bad, thank God. I don't want to experience that. But, you know, it's funny. Since I used to be, like, the ultimate horror fan, and I still like horror movies, but now that I do the ghost hunting... I don't want those images in my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
and it's funny because when I watch horror films now, I kind of get a kick out of it because I think it's so over the top, ridiculous, and funny. Like, if I was at an investigation and these things were trying to pull all that crap, I would probably start laughing. Going, really? You're going this direction? I mean, because they can only go so far, and it's all about intimidation, trying to break down your defenses, make you scared, all that stuff. And sometimes you just don't get scared about it. You're just like, really, dude? Come on.
Right. It depends on the movie, too. Like, there's a great show on Amazon Prime, and it's an English show, and it's called Apparitions. And it is fantastic, but I think it's very, very, it's kind of reality-based, and it's about the church, and it's about exorcism. And, you know, it's one of those that's exactly as I'm talking about this, somebody makes a giant noise out in my courtyard, and I jump. And I'm like, this is exactly why I don't watch them. But it's very... It's very much about a priest that becomes the exorcist, the guy that does the exorcism, and he doesn't want to. And I think it's very real to, I think, you know, it was very real to how it really happened and really how the Catholic Church would handle it. And it's very, very interesting and very real. And it isn't all the grossness, you know, it's just more of the terrifying of what that could be.
Yeah, it's true. I'll have to check that show out. I have Amazon Prime, too.
Oh, it's amazing. And I think there's only, like, six episodes, but it's really good, and it's sort of Bible based and stuff. And it's not like what was it, Haunting on Hill House or something like that. That was very good, but that wasn't,
yeah.
It doesn't scare me. The images, I don't like the images in my head, but it doesn't scare me, you know?
Yeah, I totally understand. Well, I've been to some pretty heavy music and stuff, so I'm all into that little brutality stuff, so that doesn't really bother me because I'm kind of lighthearted about images like that. And thankful I haven't experienced anything like the Hollywood things show us. And I've been in some pretty intense situations, you know, things flying around, things being thrown at me. I've had shoes thrown at me in a closet. It was incredible. And I thought that was funny. I started laughing at the ghost. I'm like, really? You're going to start throwing shoes at me? You know,
you can do that Austin Powers. Isn't that what Austin Powers said? Really? A shoe?
Yeah, that hurt. Yeah, but it was hilarious because there was this thing in this closet. It was the San Pedro house, the legendary San Pedro house, and they were filming a documentary there, and they asked me to come, you know, be a consultant on set. So downtime. So I'm just hanging out, and the ladies telling me this is all going on in the closet. This is where they come in and out of. So me just. All gung ho, me and a cameraman run in there, and I'm just calling this thing out. But you're like picking out old ladies, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, here comes these like red high heel shoes, like throwing at my legs and stuff. I'm like, dude, are you serious? But I get it. They're trying to push you away, trying to scare you, whatever they can do. But it only can go so far. You know, I think that's
right.
Kind of fun.
But you know what, too? Even when you were talking about music and stuff, I think you're such a positive guy that you have a little bit of a shield anyway.
Oh, thanks. I like to think so. that's just the way I do things. I got to keep it real and be in that mood. Not only, you know, I still got my protection up, of course, but I got my lighthearted feelers out to go any direction to see what's really going on. And just handle things that way. Usually it's all pretty good stuff, but I get these jokers who think they're going to try to scare me away, and it's like, dude, no, I'm not here to get scared away. I'm here to find out what's going on. You want to tell me something? Look, I got this real cool equipment. Let's talk. And you light that thing up to red. Oh, good for you. That kind of stuff. You know, I'm trying to make something positive about what's going on instead of trying to figure out. Because sometimes these spirits, they just don't want to talk. And they want you to go away, but if you can kind of lower their guard a little bit, then you'll get a little more information out of them. And I try to make it light for them to understand, like, hey, dude, let's work this out.
Yeah, I was at in Gettysburg, I was at one of the, I can't remember the name of the house. It was it's one of the famous houses there. And they always said it was haunted by a soldier. And I remember we couldn't get him to say anything. And then one time, and then I said in the EVP session, I said, do you have a sister? And he must have had a sister, and it like emotionally tapped it off. On my little shack hack, literally, I've never had a better EVP where the guy said, do I have a sister? And it was like a full sentence, which you never hear. And I thought, I always remember that saying, it must have tapped something off in him, like he wanted to talk about his sister, you know?
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. He doesn't talk, but you hit a subject, which caught the attention. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I have a sister. Let's, you know, maybe they're tired of the same question over and over again. I say that all the time, you know. Everybody goes to haunted locations over and over and over again, like the Washoe Club, and it got 20 people running around going, can you tell me your name? You know, and these spirits are like, dude, not is it that time of day again? I mean, come on. And they don't want to keep doing it. They're not, it's not power tricks. You know, can you tell me what year it is? It's like, dude, really? I mean, when you could pick on something like that, saying, hey, the word sister, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, my sister goes, yeah, totally cool. You know, I see her all the time, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
so
or something, it had some sort of an emotional response to it that, you know what I mean? Like it just must have struck the right note with him at that time.
That's perfect. Yeah. I like to ask random questions like that too.
Yeah, it's like, now it just made me think, I wonder what would happen, like, if you ask them, hey, do you remember the last time you had sex? And see if they remember anything.
I wonder what the EVP would be like. He's like, oh, yeah, like 20 minutes ago. Because, you know, there's been investigations where people have walked into spirits they think were having sex, like the Birdcage and Tombstone. You know, that... Women and ghosts of women have been seen there with like no clothes on, and you're hearing noises walking around up in the little birdcage area. So you're like, what? So who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
I ask about like music and stuff. Like, hey, what kind of music do you listen to? You know, and see if I get a response. Or did you like to dance? You know, a lot of the ladies will talk about that or whatever. Just something different, because people don't want to answer the same questions over and over again. I wouldn't.
I know. Well, that's like being a comedian on the road. You have to answer the same questions over and over and over. Where are you from? Wow, you live in L.A. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's why sometimes comics tend to hang out with other comics, because you sort of start at past the small talk. You're always like, how much time are you doing? What's that? You're like, you don't go into the whole where are you from kind of thing. So it works out kind of nice. But, yeah, that, I guess the ghosts would be like that. The ghosts would be like or the spirits. Some people don't like ghost. I'm okay with that word.
Yes. Some people don't like ghost because they don't, it's, ghost is kind of an image or an impression left behind. I guess the PC term would be spirit. I know I get a lot of results when I say spirit, you know, to them. I get words and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, just say ghost, and just like, what, are you talking to me like that? Are you serious?
Yes. Or my friend says, she calls them EBS, earthbound spirit. And that makes sense, but I don't really have too much trouble with ghost, although I do think it's funny. I don't, not when I'm talking, I wouldn't say, like, as an EVP session, say, hey, are you a ghost? Except I would say that at the airport, because a lot of people just stand there and don't move in line. So, but I wouldn't actually say that to someone about the ghost.
No, I'm just waiting. Okay, I'm just checking.
Yeah, just move up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, I guess I wouldn't, but maybe I use that word too much. I know some people really are like, don't say ghost. So, all right.
Well, just
try
it as an experiment. Try mixing it up. Try a couple of three EVPs with the word ghost, then try the same exact thing with the word spirit and see if there's a difference in the responses you get.
Yeah, plus it would be interesting to see if anyone acknowledges that they are a ghost. Like,
yeah,
I don't think they would.
Because some spirits don't even know they're dead. They're still stuck in that loophole, just doing everyday basic stuff, and they don't realize they've passed.
You know what else? Maybe I should introduce myself as a ghost.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Can you see me?
Yeah. Exactly. Are you ghost hunting me? Are you hunting me? And see what happens.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm not going to tell you my name or what year it is.
Or
who's like, wait a minute. Yeah.
That's true.
That's
can't, funny. You know, it's funny. What are the dates? It's May 3rd and 4th or 4th and 5th? I can't remember for the – and I should be getting my airline ticket soon for the Paracon.
You're flying up there?
Yeah, I'll probably fly. I travel too much, and I don't – and like in February I'm in Vegas. I got two different weeks in Vegas. And I thought I was going to fly both of them, but now I think I might drive one of them. But yeah, I would always prefer to fly. It's just so much more relaxing to me. I can't stand those long, long drives anymore. I get too bored.
And what do you fly into, Carson?
No, I'd fly right into Reno and rent a car. In fact, I'm trying to get the week at the Laugh Factory while that goes on, because I thought that would be nice, be doing two things at once, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. The Paracon is May third, fourth, and fifth.
There, okay. Yeah. You drive? How long of a drive is it?
About 7 hours, 8 hours sometimes.
Wow, that doesn't kill you?
Oh, it totally kills me. I just had to go from, let's see, last year I went from the Virginia, for a Virginia City event, which I drove 7 hours to, drove all the way back to my house, and then the following weekend had to drive all the way back up to Jackson.
Oh, my God. Where were you?
Which is 9 hours. That was crazy.
Wow. I used to do that when I was first in stand-up. I would end up driving all over the place, and then I just – at one point I went, you know what, I'm making enough money and I can't. It actually, sometimes when you fly Southwest, it ends up being the same that it would be if you drove with the gas money. But it just, you know, sometimes that just wrecks your back and stuff for a while. So.
Yeah. So, but I was actually thinking about today, about looking into flying up there, but yeah, Reno's only 45 minutes away. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, you get yourself a little.
Yeah, I'd rather drive 45 minutes instead of 9 hours.
Yeah, and I think it does kind of even out, because sometimes Southwest have sales that would cost two tanks of gas, you know. So it's not bad. And I have an old car, and I seem to have some bad karma with the tires. I'm always blowing tires, or tires are got holes in them. So I was like, oh, it sounds so easy to fly. Oh my God!
Yeah, I'm gonna listen to that.
When was your last investigation? Like, where have you been up in your end of the state?
I've done a couple of places, but unfortunately, I can't really talk about it. But yeah, out here in Ventura. Oh. And I do a lot of private resident stuff for extreme hauntings out here. And the last really big one was probably in Marina Del Rey.
Oh, down my end of town.
That was the one that I was talking to David Harvey about when we were at the theater.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, he's always great. Yeah, there's been a lot of activity this year. A lot.
Yes. I totally believe it. What about you?
Yeah,
when was your last investigation?
I did one last weekend. And, because I read tarot cards. That's what, during the day I read tarot cards, and then I go out and do comedy at night, or go on the road, or do your podcast. And I did a private place with my tarot, which is always a very interesting way to do it. And I'm waiting to see what the medium said to see how well we matched. But I'm really kind of like really a tarot reader, more so than anything. And I'm now, putting it in everything I do, taking the cards to the location or actually doing it remotely from home. And so far the results have been really pretty good. But I am definitely a tarot nerd. I've been studying the cards for about 20 years and the history, and, it takes a lot to hold my attention, and that seems to be one of the things that does. So it makes sense that, that would be how I would be, the symbolism I'd be able to see. So that's pretty good. So that was kind of interesting, and it was no equipment but my cards. And so that's the last one I did. I did a really... And I can't remember where I was in Orange County. I did one. It was the first female nurse first female doctor in Orange County. And I did it with Christine Larson Newman and a couple other people. And it was the doctor, she lived on the second floor, but they had a call box from long ago, where somebody could call up and say, Dr. So-and-so, can you help us? Or Dr. So-and-so, can you open the door? And just as the last minute, as we're getting ready to leave, Christine, I go, let's just do a EVP session here by this. And Christine goes, hey, doctor, can you let me in? I need help. And literally through this call box that has been sealed off for years, you could hear like someone was on the street saying, doctor, can you help me? I need help. And it was one of the most fascinating because it was also a disembodied voice because it wasn't just on the tape, like we all heard it. But it was pretty fascinating the way it wasn't like I wondered if that came through that voice box so much in the middle of the night of women going, doctor, can you help me? That how it just rang through because it was like it was almost like it was on the speakerphone, you know, and it was very really it just gets so interesting sometimes how it's almost like in a different time you could hear that as though somebody really was yelling from the street.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting how that happens like that. But sometimes when you're confronted with a spirit, you're communicating and they're talking to you and you can hear it audibly, sometimes it sounds like it's far away. But it's like right in front of you. It's weird dynamics of sound.
Yeah. And this one was even weirder because the thing, it was, I can't explain, it was old time and it was like a little speakerphone. When someone was on the street, they could speak into it. And I don't even know how it worked, but it rang up in her room very, very slightly. And it was just one of these perfect situations. But it's weird that sort of like her saying that unlocked a feeling or a vibration that was in that thing and kind of set it free. So it was super interesting.
That is interesting. But maybe that's what it takes to be free. You play that and you hear that and, you know, they understand. As part of some of the theories that I have is like when you're watching, and this is kind of one of those experiences that I've kind of got, where you're playing EVP. And you're hearing that frequency of voice, you know, it's almost like a code, like a computer generated number, the frequency. And I think as we're hearing those voices playing back and back, that can actually stir up activities when you're listening to EVPs, because there's a lot of caution to when we're playing back EVPs, you know, I prefer, you know, doing some protection of myself and the environment that I'm in when I'm playing that stuff and doing a closing as well, because that sound, that voice can call them back. They can come to your location. It's almost like when we're watching DVR stuff and you're seeing the orbs, the light anomalies moving around and stuff in the camera on your laptop or whatever. But as you're watching, you start realizing you're seeing past your laptop. You're starting noticing things going on in the room with you. I believe that energy can transform through electronics into our present world as well.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more because I try not to tape my podcast at night because I'll be talking about something and then I'll start like I did one whole podcast on gin. And I sometimes do all the research myself and I'm reading papers and I'm sitting here alone and it's 10 at night. And sure enough, same thing. I start to hear things shifting and energies moving. And I think you have to be careful because you really don't know what you're calling in. And I read tarot cards all day in my apartment. So it already kind of has a psychic energy about it. So yeah, you have to be really careful.
So let me ask you on your tarot deck, what kind of deck do you use? What's your preference?
I love the very simple Rider-Waite deck. I started with it because I think it's, and I always tell people to start with it because it's the most popular. There's tons of information on it, but it's a very interesting story. I've seen three psychics in my life that told me, two of them told me in the past life I worked in the circus, and then one of them told me that they didn't believe in past lives, but why am I not working in the circus? And I often wonder if I was a tarot reader in the circus, and this was my deck, because I love that deck. I study it. I read. There are so many books I have read on that particular deck. I mean, I read all of them, and I own some other decks. In fact, I own the original Marcella deck, And that one's pretty hard to figure out. But I just love that Rider-Waite deck. I think I know it inside and out. In fact, I'm trying to get an online course together to teach it. But it's just very handy, and it seems to speak to me.
Nice. And that's what it's all about, finding the one that works best for you. It's all about that connection. That's awesome to know.
In fact, one of my Twitter friends sent me a package, and he bought me two decks, and one of them is called the After Tarot deck. And what it is every card in the Rider-Waite deck, they took that card and did what they thought happened after. So you can have your Rider-Waite deck where the magician is standing there with all four, you know, he has the sword, the cup, the wand, and the pentacle on the table. And then you look at the magician in the after deck, and what has happened is he has raised both hands and all those things are levitating. Or in sort of like the high priestess, she sits with the Torah in her hand. And you can see in the after deck, someone has handed her the keys that are actually from the Hierophant, which is her later. But it's fascinating to see somebody else's version of what happened right after that. And I thought, that's the most brilliant thing I've ever seen. I do a tarot card of the day, and it's a little video. It's only like 3 minutes long. And I explain the card, and then I give everybody a mantra for the day. And it goes on Twitter, and it goes on Facebook. And now I'm using the regular deck and the after tarot deck to kind of compare them and see what happens after. But it's really a fascinating thing if you're into tarot.
That sounds awesome. I've never heard of the after deck.
Yeah, look it up online.
Definitely got to check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Because I have the original old school Rider deck, the yellow one.
Yeah, that's the one I use.
Okay, cool. And then I also have the Aleister Crowley soft deck, which is got 12 more trumps, and it's a little more complicated to use, but pictures are cool.
Yeah, I have one of those too. Those two decks seem to be the big, the most popular, and I think the ones that have the most references too.
Yeah, nice. So, Karen, let's talk about. We've only got about 10 minutes left, so let's. I want to talk about what's coming up for you. What's happening in the world of Karen?
What's happening? Well. Let's see. I got a bunch of shows. I got a bunch of one-nighters right now. February 3rd, I'm at the Laugh Factory in Vegas that week. And then I go to, after that, for Valentine's Day, not Valentine's Day, but the 15th and the 16th, I'm in Broad Albin, New York, up, and I'll be visiting my parents. And then after that, oddly enough, I go back to Vegas across the street from the Laugh Factory to Brad Garrett's club. So February, I'm all out on the road. And then I think I'm in town a lot in March doing some stuff around town. It's LA's been really good to me. There's been a lot of money. You know, a lot of comics say there's no money to be made in LA, but I disagree. I get a lot of gigs here and have a lot of fun. So February is pretty full. So if anybody's in Vegas, I'm there more than 50% of the month.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, it is kind of nice. It'd be better to have them spread out so I don't get homesick. But, you know, Vegas is kind of fun to work because everything's in the hotel. Everything's there. You don't have to go far. And it's kind of nice. Sometimes when you're on the road, being on the road, sometimes on the road you get stuck in a condo and then you got to go find food. It's a lot of hunting and gathering during the day, trying to find a store and trying to find food. And, man, thank God there's GPS. I remember when there wasn't, you had to ask people and you had to walk for miles to find something to eat. And now it's much easier. And Uber has made life easier, too.
Yeah, because you know where everything's at. All you got to do is pay them to take you there. It's great.
Yeah. It's gotten a lot easier on the road. But, man, I remember when I first started, and some of the clubs would be like, yeah, you got to walk to the show. And you'd be the middle of the night walking home from a show in a city you didn't know, and it was dangerous. And, God, the things I did when I was young. But now I think everything seems a lot safer. So I don't think the young comics are quite as frightened as I used to be. But, you know, you get older in the business, you get a little more leverage, and you don't have to worry about that as much.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's the road.
Paranormal-wise.
What was that?
What about for paranormal-wise? What do you guys coming up for paranormal stuff?
I think May is my next, I'm going to the one in Virginia City, and then I think I'm going to be at the Tahoe, Biltmore. I don't know if we have I think that's September, and then I'm possibly, yes, and then I'm possibly in, there might be an Orlando Paracon in Florida, and I think that's in July. So that's really the funnest stuff. I have my own podcast called Paranormal Karen that we have to have you on. Next time I'm seeing you, I'm going to slap a microphone on you, and we'll do that podcast there.
Okay.
And of course, sounds good.
Yeah.
And, of course, I always have the one-minute series that is all comedy that's called Paranormal Karen. So everything's called Paranormal Karen. So I made the mistake of naming everything the same thing. Which is kind of good, but gets confusing. And that's about it. I think me and my friend Ryan Singer might be trying to put together some ghost hunts in L.A. and Orange County and seeing if we can strum up some business from our podcast.
Excellent. That sounds great. I do have – I also work with another show – called the Red Light District Show, which is coming to an end, and we'll be turning into No Cover TV. And with that being said, we're going to be putting the feelers for some guests, and I would like to get you to possibly spend some time with us and come on that show. You know, because you're very diverse. You know, going from the paranormal investigator to being a comedian, to acting, to writing, all the stuff that you do is such a great variety. And the No Cover show is a variety show, and it was really a big music entertainment show. But I think we should talk about getting you on that. I'd like to do some more stuff with you and have you do some comedy on that show.
I would love to, man. I think I've known you. You've been one of the guys I've known forever in the business, or as long as I've been in the paranormal type business. And everything you do is great, man. I'm up for whatever you got going on. I always enjoy hanging out with you, and I'd love to work with you more.
Absolutely. And when you come up here to do that the No Cover show, I can show you around that the theater that I have that I'll tell you about. I'll show you some of the hot ghost spots on there too.
I would love to. Could I do a little paranormal Karen from there? Could I tell some jokes?
Yeah, totally. You can stand right there in the main hall where the big lights are and stuff, and do it. And I'll show you all the stuff where everything's been seen, because those spirits, we don't even have to ask them to come out. They're like, they live there, and there's eight of them, and they just do their thing, and they don't care who's there or not. They're just doing their stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Wow. I would love to.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. I love that theater. That was really cool that night we saw the movie.
Yes, it's a beautiful place. It's been around since, you know, the 20s, 1920s and stuff. So it has a lot of energy and a lot of history, and it's a great place to come and investigate. And we don't let people come and investigate. That's what I'm saying. I'll walk you through there to experience something like that. But, you know. We'll put something together, and we'll work on some dates and stuff, and we'll get you up here and work on that.
Awesome.
All right. So that's kind of been the end of the show. We have to kind of – it's only an hour show, unfortunately. I mean, you and I can sit there. We can talk for hours about endless things, I'm sure. But unfortunately, we got to get going.
Hello. Everybody listening out there, we can spend any time with Karen Rontowski, and you can find out more about her on Facebook at Karen's Facebook page. And you can also go to her website, KarenRontowski.com, and find out more about the paranormal stuff, the stand-up stuff. You can find out more about the movies that she has been, the comedy series and stuff like that. I was looking at your resume on IMDb, and that's pretty impressive. That's a lot of stuff on there. I didn't even realize half of those things, which is really cool.
Oh, thanks. That's because I'm an old lady.
That just means you know what you're doing, because it's getting better. That's why I was asking what's next, because I see a lot of things. You know, and it's funny. I go to the rankings on IMDb, and if you look at your page and you see rank, you have moved up 248,000 points this week.
Are you kidding? You know what? I don't even know how that works. But you know, you know what's funny? I'll have to check that out. I moved up. Okay, I'll just see what's going on. Because you know, it's funny.
That's why I asked you. That's why I was asking. Like, what is she doing? She's moved up 248,000 points in this week. It's like she's got to have a new movie coming out. You working with J.J. Abrams or something?
No, you know, I think this is all podcasts. I think all I've been doing is a ton of podcasts and promoting my podcast, and my podcast has been growing. I don't know. Oh, I know what it is. It might be my Dry Bar stuff, my comedy special that they're putting out in little, you know, the Dry Bar comedy, the clean comedy that they put out in chunks. I think they all went viral. That must be people checking it out or something, or I really should pay more attention to my career.
It's doing pretty good, in case you didn't know.
Oh, thanks. It's I'm actually in just a really good zone where I just keep going and I love the things I'm making, so all the rest is just great. How long have you been on the air?
Oh man, I've been doing this show since 2011.
Wow, that's fantastic, man. I think I was on in 2011.
Yeah, you've been on, like, what? This is, like, your third time, I think. Maybe
even
more.
Yeah, well,
I don't know. I talked to you quite a bit on the show.
I think so.
And that's all good.
Well,
you're one of my favorite people.
Yeah. I know you got to go in an hour, but congratulations, man. That's really quite a thing. And you do a great show, so keep it up.
Thanks, Karen. I really appreciate that. You know, and, of course, we're going to get together soon, and we'll do your podcast. You come out and do my new show, and we'll go from there and see what happens.
I would love to.
All right. Well, thanks for spending some time with us. I got to give a shout out to my sponsors, and we have to wrap up the show. So it's awesome talking to you. Thank you so much. I'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, my friend.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right. And that's going to be it for the show. We've been spending some time tonight with Karen Rontowski, actress, comedian, psychic medium, paranormal researcher, and investigator. An all-around good person. So you guys have heard her on the show before. She's always great to investigate with and just talk to, you know, find out more things about her. I definitely recommend checking out her Facebook page and seeing what's going on. With that being said, I want to give a shout-out to my sponsor, Chili Man Salsa, the paranormal salsa company. You can tell by the ghost on the label. That's C-H-I-L-I-I-M-A-N Salsa Company, along with Lizzie Wizzy's Crafty Creations. That's right. Keeping us warm during those cold paranormal nights. And also, Mike and everybody over there at P-Tech making our lights so we don't drive ourselves crazy and bump around too much in the dark, which we all do. That's going to be it for Mike Darkness Hour Radio. I am your host, Stefan Brigati, right here on LiveParanormal.com and HistorySN. And we will see you guys next time right here and at the same time. So you guys go out investigating this weekend. You guys have a great time and be safe.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox Sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.